His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Thanks to Jen. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Glad that you're here. I know a number of you are family or friends and are visiting with us today. And we're so thankful for you to be with us. Didn't the Lord give us a beautiful day today? It's awesome out there. We've waited a little while for a couple of days like this in a row, and the Lord's blessed us with that. We're really thankful for you to be here today as we celebrate the resurrected Lord. Did you enjoy the singing? Okay. I was listening to the quartet sing, and I'm like, in heaven, Dave, just wait for it. You'll get there, you know. Right now, it's confined to the shower for me, but that's okay. Fundamental to everything a genuine Christian believes, fundamental to everything a genuine Christian believes is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's well attested, and in different Easters, we've gone through the proofs of the resurrection, witnessed according to Scripture by over 500 men, women, and children on 10 different occasions over numbers of days, well attested. The book of Acts records the disciples who were wimps on this side of the cross, who weren't really, most of them weren't even really, didn't even go to the cross. And as we're going to see, when Jesus rises, they're in a room, locked in a room, scared for their life. But the book of Acts records after they meet the resurrected Christ that their lives were radically changed. And if we can believe the early church fathers as they wrote about the disciples, every one of them gave their physical lives for the truth of the resurrected Christ. But this morning, I would like to put the spotlight on one disciple, one that we don't often talk about, and her name is Mary Magdalene. And for my money, she's one of the most beautiful and most faithful followers of Christ found anywhere in Scripture. If you have your Bible or the insert that's in your bulletin, if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. In Matthew 28 and verse 1, we're introduced to Mary Magdalene in the resurrection account. I'll just read that verse so you can see her name. Now, after the Sabbath, Matthew 28 and verse 1, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Mary Magdalene went to see the tomb. Now, for my money, as I said, she's one of the most beautiful and one of the most faithful followers of Christ, and I would like to show you that from Scripture this morning. But unfortunately, in the culture in which we live, I need to give a disclaimer this morning. If you're to take Hollywood's version of Mary Magdalene and the movies that are put out about this woman, they would, based on false religious traditions, show you that she was a prostitute, the sinful woman in Luke 7, which I don't believe she was, who fell in love with Jesus, and some would even say married Jesus. From my time in the Scriptures, I would say how sinfully scandalous and biblically untrue. And so put all of that aside, and let's look at the biblical record of Mary Magdalene. Now, just a couple of things so you understand the importance of her in the account of Christ. Mary Magdalene is one of only a few individuals that's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. And if you're taken to statistics, I counted that her name is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. 12 times. It's interesting, there's no record of her parentage. There's no record of her marital status. And thank goodness there's no record of her age. Those of us who are getting older can appreciate that. There's lots of Marys in the Bible, and this is Mary Magdalene. Now, you might know, and I guess I never studied her life in enough detail. I thought Magdalene was her last name. That's not true. She's called Mary Magdalene, but she's from Magdala, a city in Galilee about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, a little fishing village on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where she's from. So she's called Mary Magdalene, or from Magdala, to differentiate her from the other prominent Marys of Scripture. Mary Magdalene is found in three prominent places, and every time she's mentioned, she's with Jesus. So we're going to see her, and I'm just going to let you travel with me as we look at Mary Magdalene. You're going to see her following Christ all the way from Galilee, where she first meets Jesus, all the way to Calvary. She's going to follow Jesus to the cross. We're going to see her in Matthew 27 at the cross and at the burial of Jesus. And then, as Jen just read, we're going to see her at the resurrection tomb in Matthew 28. She's one of only several that I can list from Scripture who have met the living Jesus, saw and were witnesses to the dying Jesus on the cross, saw him laid in the tomb, and met the resurrected Christ. So she saw the living Christ, she saw the dying Christ, and she met the resurrected Christ. And so I want to put a spotlight. We're going to clearly spotlight Jesus and his resurrection, but I want you to see one simple, authentic follower of Christ. And if you're here today and you say, well, I'm not really a follower of Christ, maybe I'm here because of family or friends, or maybe I'm here because it's Easter and it seemed like the right thing to do or whatever, then I would like you to see in Mary Magdalene somebody who authentically had her life changed after she met Christ. And I would just say to you, and I will say to you, that he can change your life like he changed Mary's life. And then if you're already a follower of Christ, I want you to see this beautiful portrait of a single woman, as far as we can tell, and her love for her Savior who radically changed her life. And so I want to spotlight three portraits. I'm just going to give you the very simple outline this morning. And here's what I want you to see Mary, three different portraits of Mary. I want you to see her first waiting on the personal needs of the living Christ. In a moment, I'm going to have us go to Luke chapter 8, where we see Mary Magdalene for the very first time. And if you don't have a Bible, I'll have the words up on the scripture. And then, secondly, I want us to see Mary watching and weeping over the death and burial of the dying Christ. She's there. And then lastly, as we should on Easter, I want us to see Mary worshiping at the feet of the resurrected Christ. It's a beautiful picture of a simple, sold-out follower of Christ. Let me ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, I thank you for your Son. Lord, I still, even as a pastor some 20 years in Bible college and seminary, I'm still, Lord, trying to get to the depths of the fact that in eternity past, you would come up with a plan where you would send your Son, God Himself, take on humanity, live sinlessly, die on the cross, be literally buried, have the tomb sealed, and then rise on the third day, and then ascend into heaven, that we could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Lord, I pray that whether there be one here today that's a skeptic, or one that would even be an atheist and they found themselves here, or the nominal Christian, or the fervent follower of Christ, Lord, would you do a special work in our lives as we highlight Mary, and more importantly, as we highlight your Son. In Christ's precious name, amen. So the first portrait, vignette, I want you to see is Mary waiting on the personal needs of the living Christ. And if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 8. It's just three short verses. They're going to be up here on the screen, so you can certainly follow along there. So this is the first time we see Mary mentioned in Scripture. So Luke chapter 8, I'm just going to read three verses, three very beautiful verses. Soon afterward, Luke 8 and verse 1, he, Jesus, went on through cities and villages. Now remember, he's in northern Israel by the Sea of Galilee. That's where his hometown is. That's where Capernaum is. That's where Magdala is. And he's ministering to people up north, city and villages. It says in verse 1, he's proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. That's Judas and the other disciples. And also some women who had been, notice, healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene. There you get a little inference that that's not her last name. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And so Luke is a doctor. He's one of the ones to write one of the four Gospels. And when you read Luke's account of the life of Christ, you see him as a doctor highlighting the physical needs of a person and Jesus meeting those physical needs, and then the spiritual needs of a person and Jesus meeting them. And certainly we have a case in Mary Magdalene right before us. I just want to draw your attention to something that was really cool in my study this week. In verse 1, it says that soon afterward he went on through the cities and villages. He was proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom. He wasn't just talking. He was bringing them the good news. And then we have an example of Mary Magdalene. So he's, and I don't know if this is proper English. Nobody corrected me after the first service, but he was good newsing them. Like he was proclaiming it and he was doing it. It was like all good news. And it says of Mary Magdalene and these other women in verse 2 that they were healed. In the original language, that's the Greek word therapeuo, and we get the word therapeutic. The original word meant completely cured, restored to full health. Now, it says of Mary Magdalene in our passage that she was healed of evil spirits and infirmities from whom seven demons had gone out. We don't know and we're not told the exact nature of the demons. But we know from Scripture and the Gospels, wherever there are demons, the goal of the demons is to bring misery and destruction to ordinary people's lives. I often think we don't think about the heavenly realms and what's going on around us when we see misery and destruction. Just Thursday, I got a heartbreaking call from somebody who's been coming to church here for a couple months. Unbelievable misery and destruction. Hopelessness and helplessness. Desperately needing Christ. Whenever in Scripture the demons are mentioned as attached to somebody or indwelling somebody, it always has this idea of the person is left helpless and hopeless. And I just want you to notice, and God never puts a word in here that is unintentional. It says for Mary Magdalene, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. Now, for the guys that are much smarter than me when they study Scripture, the number seven always in Scripture has the idea of completeness. It has the idea of mastery. It has the idea of domination. And so when it says that Mary had seven demons that were removed from her, you get the idea that she was mastered, she was dominated, she was enslaved. That was Mary Magdalene. And then she met Jesus. Praise God, amen. She met Jesus. Now, often in Scripture, when the demons are possessing somebody at that level, what you'll find is that they so control even the bodily movements that one of the features that comes out is they just have uncontrollable seizures. And so Mary of Magdalene was dominated. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us here, Scripture is trying to tell us. More than likely, she had the outward symptom of seizures and uncontrollable. I got to tell you, having five children and two with some form of epilepsy, struggling with seizures, I can't imagine what a life would be like here's a lady I don't know, we don't know what her age is, but she's an adult and she's had seven demons dominate her, more than likely epileptic, and all of a sudden cured. Someday when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Mary Magdalene and find out what was the day like when you realized the next day you woke up and none of that. But she had a deliverer, amen? And we're going to sing it at the end. Oh, happy day for Mary Magdalene. She was a recipient of Christ's undeserved mercy. Now, here's what I want you to notice. He met her greatest need. And one of the things that's beautiful to me about Mary Magdalene is now she's going to attempt to return the favor to Christ. Look what it says at the end of verse 3. And so it's talking about Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Herod's household and Susanna and many who provided for him, it should say, provided for him out of their means. What a beautiful statement, because now from this time on, you never see Mary Magdalene without being at the side ministering to Jesus. Her whole life, when you study in the Scripture, is a thank you back to God. Forever changed. Forever grateful. Is that you? Forever changed? Could you say that? Forever grateful? By the way, that's a legitimate question to ask, because God, Jesus himself in the Gospels, he's recorded as healing 10 lepers. And leprosy in that day was a definite death sentence. And it records him healing 10. And then Jesus says, and only one returns to give him thanks. And Jesus says, were there not 10? She cared for his needs because he first cared for her needs. That's what you have to see. John would write, we love him because he what? First loved us. Mary was trying to return the favor to Jesus by giving Jesus his life. Now, if you would go with me to Matthew chapter 27, and I'll have these scriptures up on the screen here as we move to Matthew chapter 28. Here's the second portrait I want you to see of Mary Magdalene. I want you to see her watching and weeping over the death and burial of the dying Christ. Let me read in Matthew chapter 27. Like I said, the scripture will be back behind me. So he's hanging on the cross, and he's basically said all he's going to say. And Mary Magdalene was there at the cross, and she heard him say, it is finished. She heard him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so she's seen it all. She's observing it all. Look what it says in verse 55. Now there were also women there at the cross, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee. So her hometown is up by Galilee on the western shore. She meets Jesus, and she ministers to Jesus from Galilee to Calvary. And it says at the end of verse 55, ministering to him. Like out of her own means, whatever that means, like everything she had, she was like laying it out for Christ. And then it says in verse 56, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Verse 57, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. That was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years earlier that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Verse 59, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud, and he laid it in his own new tomb, as had been prophesied, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb, and he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. So here we see her from Galilee all the way down to Calvary. She's at the cross, and then she goes to the tomb. She met Jesus in Galilee and ministered to him all the way to Calvary. There's a famous painting in the Louvre in Paris that was painted, finished in 1619. It actually took the gentleman about 3 years to paint this. It's like 10 feet by 10 feet. And in the picture, there's three individuals. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Joseph, the stepfather, so to speak. And then there's Mary Magdalene. And you would think that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the one down on the ground. But they've painted Mary Magdalene down at the feet of Jesus. Healed from seven demons. New life given to her. Here's what's written down below that piece of artwork. The world, the poet wrote, the world is wrapped in shadow. Now remember, we're still at the cross. We haven't got to the resurrection. The world is wrapped in shadow. The stars are dead, the poet said. And yet in the darkness is seen a kneeling form. Why, it's Mary Magdalene with loving hands and arms pressing against the bleeding feet of Jesus. As I study the scriptures on Mary Magdalene, I think that's as accurate as any painting has ever been. She's watching at the cross, and another gospel account says she's weeping at the tomb. She's the last at the cross, and she's the first at the tomb. She's not leaving Jesus. She doesn't know what all the death thing means. She's going to go there and anoint him, so she really thinks he's dead. She hasn't figured that out. She just knows her experience with Jesus in life radically changed her. She remained until the body of Jesus was taken down. Look at verse 61 of Matthew 27. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Her Savior and Lord, who had healed her, had been crucified. She watched this person she radically followed with everything she had. She watched him come unfastened from the cross and laid in a tomb. His body was lifeless. She saw it. The man who had understood her like no person had ever understood her. This man that she had come to know and cherish and follow and dedicate herself to her. He was gone. Dead. The gospel account, one gospel account just simply says Mary wept. I can't imagine the flood of emotions and thoughts going through her head as she had this legitimate experience of Christ and she was radically transformed. She knew it was from God, and now her Savior, this is the Messiah, she's going to follow him, he's dead. Mary Magdalene, last at the cross, first at the tomb. And then the last portrait that I want you to see is Mary worshiping at the feet of the resurrected Christ. And I cannot do this justice because I can't even imagine the unbelievable turn of events in her life. All she wanted to do was to be with Jesus. She arrived early Sunday morning, heartbroken. And then she sees the earthquake and experiences the earthquake, and the angel speaks to her, "Who are you looking for?" And here's the words, "He is not risen. He is not here. He is risen." And she's got to be going, I think she's going to sing the last song. She's singing, "Oh, happy day." Like, he's risen. My Savior. He changed my life. He said, if you look at Scripture, he said, "Greetings." And then he said, "Mary." And she said, and I don't know how she said it. I wish I need to have a voice like Bo's or Chad's or something. She said, "Master." This was a day of first for Mary. And what an honor for Mary Magdalene, and I present her to you. This was a day of first for Mary. She was the first to see the risen Christ. She was the first to hear the voice of Christ. She was the first to touch the person of the resurrected Christ. She was the first to be sent by Christ. She told him to go. Jesus told her to go to the side, and she was the first one to share the resurrection of Christ. What a life changing day for Mary. Oh, happy day. Amen. Jesus says to her, go. And it says that she was fearful and joyful and had all this going on. Jesus says to her, go and tell my brethren that I have arisen. Now listen to this. And will meet you in Galilee. Like, you go back home and you're going to see me again. Oh, happy day. Just as a side note, it says in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28 that the whole series of events started with a great earthquake. When you study earthquakes in the New Testament and where they appear, you're going to see that when the earthquake happened at the cross, the Holy of Holies was opened up. When the earthquake happens at the tomb, the tombs were opened up. The next time you see an earthquake in scriptures in Acts 16 and Peter's in jail singing hymns at night, try that out, and there's an earthquake and the jail doors open up. And so anytime there's an earthquake, something's opening up. And I have to be honest to scripture, the next time you hear about an earthquake is in the book of Revelation at the tribulation, and the earthquake happens and God's wrath is opened up. So when you feel the ground moving, you know that God is shaking things up. We sang the song, and I'm so thankful for Nathan and his leadership over these almost 14 years at Lakeside as our worship leader. We sang the song, Death Was Arrested and My Life Began. I think Mary Magdalene wrote the song, to be honest with you. I mean, it didn't have her name there, and in heaven she's singing it with us. Listen to the words. Death was arrested and my life began. Could Mary Magdalene, could you say that? Oh, your grace so free, it washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins in you. Your endless love pouring down on us. There was another line that I caught in the second service. My orphaned life given a name. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene met Jesus in Galilee and ministered to Jesus all the way to Calvary. She was an authentic eyewitness of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. She believed in and she totally identified with Jesus Christ. And then as she followed him, she went all the way to the cross. And now she would say, if she could stand right here, I identify with Christ's death, burial, and his finished work on the cross. Like, I claim that for my salvation. Can you say that? Like, I know Easter is like the religious holiday, and you know, I'm not getting down on anybody for being here, no matter what your reason is for being here. But just for a moment, do you know Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as the transforming agent of your life? Do you know that? Do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? Have you personalized his death, burial, and resurrection? I'm not talking about church or Sunday school or, you know, I'm talking about, have you personalized his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you know it personally? Have you trusted in it with all of your being? Has it radically transformed you? From Mary's life, I can tell you, unless you meet him in life, you will not be with him at death. You won't. And Easter is full of hope, but the hope is for those who are going to place their trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I've learned a couple of things from Mary Magdalene as I close. In Mary Magdalene, I see what Jesus can do for a person in physical and spiritual need, in all of their brokenness, and I'm reminded of what he did for me. So some of you, I don't know your situation. I just know you're here. I'm thankful for that. But I want you to see Jesus Christ as the change agent for Mary Magdalene. Her life was never the same. Her sins were forgiven. She was granted eternal life. She's in the presence of the Savior today because of what Christ did on the cross. So because of the resurrection, there's hope. And no matter what your situation is, and believe me, as a pastor, I've sat in on a lot of crazy situations. The man I talked to talked about just from this week. I mean, you couldn't be more broken. And all I know is that no matter what your situation in Christ, there's hope. Amen? There's hope. Forgiveness of sins in this lifetime and eternal life and the abundant life. Because He is alive, you and I can have a personal, moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus. He gave His life for that to be a reality for every one of us in this room. You can't walk out of here today having seen Mary Magdalene and the Savior more prominently and blame God for this disconnectedness. Because He wants to connect. He went all the way to the cross for that to be a reality. For me and Mary Magdalene, I see Jesus, my Jesus, as the one who both has the willingness and the ability to change, radically transform the most broken of lives. I'm living proof of that. I get the pulpit most Sundays, so I get to tell my little snippet of my story almost always. I mean, I can't stop thinking and talking about what Christ has literally done for me. So the story of Easter is a story of Jesus radically transforming broken lives. So where is your place in that Easter story? Like, you take this Easter story, are you on the outside looking in? Jesus is saying, and He said it, and it's recorded in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you life, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm gentle in spirit and humble. You'll find rest for your souls. Just come to me. He begs, the story begs for a personal relationship with Christ. I pray this morning that you would paint yourself into the Easter story. Like, just paint yourself right in there. Like, in the quietness of right where you're sitting. We're going to give a couple of moments here in just a little bit. You don't have to walk the aisle. You don't have to raise the hand. You don't even have to turn in a gold card later. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to do any of that. You just have quietly right where you are. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and my decisions have caused a lot of brokenness and destruction, and life has been tough, and Lord, here I am. I just lay it at your feet, and I surrender. Lord, would you forgive my sins? Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Would you take my sins away and come into my life and transform me like you did Mary Magdalene? Scripture says all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be what? They'll be saved. It's a promise from God. Oh, happy day. Let me pray.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.